From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
This is Bob Levy, Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. For this week's edition of Naps Chat, Executive Vice President Ivan Butz will have an informal discussion with Congressman Jerry Connolly of Virginia, Chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Subcommittee on Government Operations, the committee that has jurisdiction over postal and civil service issues. Topics to be covered include the status of postal legislation and the Postal Service's Universal Service Obligation. In addition, Representative Connolly will weigh in and express his support of a congressional review over the antiquated, unfair, and now discredited process by which NAPS is compelled to consult over managerial and supervisory compensation. Now let me turn to Ivan Butz.
Good morning. We are here today with Congressman Jerry Connolly. He is in his sixth term as a member of the House of Representatives, representing the suburban Washington District in Virginia. Presently, he chairs the House Oversight and Reform Subcommittees on Government Operations, the House Subcommittee on Jurisdiction over the Postal Service and Federal Employees Issues. Mr. Connolly is no stranger to us at NAPS. He has been our champion for years and enjoys a special relationship with us. He sponsored our legislation to provide MSPB appeal rights for all EAS for a number of years and has defended postal and federal employees' health and retirement benefits from budget cuts. He also has been a constant champion for postal relief. So welcome, Representative Connolly.
Great to be with you.
Postal reform. We know postal reform has taken quite some time to get done. We have had it on the introduced for the last several years. What's the current status of postal reform? And just a general question, why do you think it's taken so long to get done?
Well, let me take that first. I think it's taken a long time to get done for several reasons. One is that Congress back in 2006, before I was here, frankly created a huge problem for the Postal Service in the prepayment requirement in terms of health care benefits for current and retired postal workers. And that prepayment requirement is unprecedentedly onerous and probably costs the Postal Service somewhere between $4 and $5 billion a year, which has sunk it in red ink. And I think Congress has been reluctant to recognize it created that problem and that it has the responsibility for fixing it. And because of Congressional Budget Office scoring, it's not an easy fix because somebody has to be able to account for how it will be scored. It's not a neutral score, even though it's Postal Service money. The second part of your question, you know, what else, you know, are we doing right now? I think postal reform is an orphan in the Congress, in part because most people just aren't seized with it as an issue. Mm-hmm. So they know if they don't get their mail that day, but they know how to put a stamp on an envelope, but they don't really get into the intricacies of the economics of postal delivery and into the competitive environment in which we're operating and the huge changes that are going on in the marketplace, right? The plummeting first-class mail volume and the growth in packaging. And so trying to get my colleagues' attention on the urgency of action is a challenge, an ever-present challenge.
Yeah, very good. And on the lines of what you just said about the urgency, some of your colleagues argue that Congress will not enact postal legislation until there's a real crisis, as you just stated, like the mail stops being delivered or the employees stop getting paid. Is there a response that you have for those type of skeptics?
I would say there's some truth to that, that Congress often doesn't act on anything until it comes right up and faces them, you know, in the face in a crisis form. We're long past that with the Postal Service. We've needed postal reform for all the time I've been in Congress, which is now 11 years. Yeah. The problem in the past is that when the Republicans were in control of our committee, they continued to pass party line bills they called reform, but that would have significantly altered the ability of the Postal Service to function and to function in anything close to a profitable manner. And so those bills died, right? They were too weighted down with all kinds of negative policy provisions such that even the Republican leadership recognized it couldn't bring those bills to the floor, and they didn't. When in the last 2 years, we were able to come up with a bipartisan compromise that actually passed our committee unanimously. Unfortunately, the Republican leadership was just not willing to spend any political capital in bringing that bill to the floor. And so now we have to kind of start over in a new majority. I am hopeful we can still put together a bipartisan coalition, which I think is essential to bring a bill to the floor. But timing is critical. If we don't get a bill in this body by September, I fear that even if we pass a bill, it won't ever pass the Senate. Yeah. So timing is of the essence, and my hope is we will see some action when we come back after the August break.
Well, certainly our members hope that we will see some legislation coming forward by that September. Is there any discussion on any differences between what would be introduced as legislation this session versus what was unanimously passed last session?
We're looking at everything. Mm-hmm. We don't want to, it's such a fragile coalition, and that bill had a unanimous support in our committee, but it also had stakeholder support across the board from industry, from the unions, from employee groups, and the Postal Service itself. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to, you know, break a lot of china in coming up with a revised bill. But on the other hand, if there are improvements to the old bill, if there are issues we didn't address properly or didn't address at all that need to be addressed, we're certainly open to that. But we don't want to have too many huge changes because doing that risks this fragile coalition.
Looking at, and I guess shifting gears a little bit, looking at what some call the hyper-partisanship that we see up here in Congress, I guess for our members, or at least in the postal community, we really look at postal reform as a potential to show really a bipartisan cooperation in the House. Do you see that with your relationship? And I guess that really feeds into your relationship with Representative Meadows, Representative Cummings, and you guys in leadership on our committee, how you're kind of working together.
Yeah, I do think there's a bipartisan coalition to be had. Certainly Mr. Meadows on our committee has been a good partner and has, you know, kept his commitments to postal reform, and I've enjoyed working with him. On a different issue, but it's maybe symptomatic of the kind of bipartisanship we can achieve, I've worked with a conservative Republican from Missouri, Congressman Graves, on the issue of six-day delivery versus five-day delivery. And every year since I've been here, he and I have introduced a resolution saying it will be six. It will not be five. And 218 is the majority here in Congress. We already have 262 signatures on that resolution. And so I think that's a hopeful sign in terms of the potential bipartisan support we can build if we work at it.
Very good. Thank you. The President's Task Force on the Postal Systems and others have urged Congress to define the universal service obligation in the statute. So a question that we have is, do you believe that the statute defined, the statutory definition would be helpful or counterproductive to postal reform?
I'd have to look at that very carefully, especially given the fact that it's a recommendation from the President's Commission. I look at everything they've got to say with a jaundiced eye because, frankly, they were biased about a lot of issues with respect to the Postal Service. I think they have a tendency to favor privatization, and I think they were not sympathetic in a number of other issues we recommended to them, and frankly, they didn't listen at all, for example. And, freeing the Postal Service to be a little more competitive and to have more flexibility in pricing. So when it comes to universal service, in the past, we've sort of understood what that means. And, a striking statistic for me, the Postal Service delivers 485 million pieces of mail to 158 million homes and businesses every day. That means that the Postal Service delivers more in 1 week than FedEx does in a whole year, and handles more in a month than all of its private sector competitors in an entire year. So, the Postal Service has some burdens and responsibilities not expected of their private sector competitors. And so it's not a level playing field, but I'm not sure we want it to be. And that's why we want to make sure we can create a new business model for the Postal Service that allows it to be competitive while fulfilling its universal mandate.
I'm sure our members really appreciate hearing that from you, Congressman. Thank you very much. As you may know, the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Services panel recently concluded fact-finding for the Postal Service compensation system for managers in the Postal Service, and they found that that system is seriously flawed. Additional current concerns have been raised about the fairness and effectiveness of the pay consultation process for EAS employees within the Postal Service and other management associations, as well as NAPS. Since these problems stem from the statutory that was enacted over 40 years ago, do you think that it's time for Congress to revisit the provisions of Title 39?
I think that probably is long overdue. Part of repositioning the Postal Service to be agile and to take advantage of market changes in the 21st century means that you've got to look at compensation and make sure it's competitive. Make sure that that compensation regime attracts, top flight managers who can help run the Postal Service, which is an immense enterprise. And so, I think looking at a 40-year-old statute in light of all the changes that have happened in the marketplace and in benchmarking semi-public sector salaries against the private sector is something that's absolutely warranted.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So for our members out there listening to our podcast, you can see why I call Representative Connolly one of our champions in postal issues. And I thank you, Congressman, for taking the time out and speaking with us today. And
great to be with you, Ivan.
Before I turn it over to you for any closing remarks, I'd just like to give you one of the NAPS challenge coins.
Ah, thank you.
An appreciation to all your service. And one other thing is you spoke at our legislative training seminar and did such an outstanding job. We wanted to present you with a little token of our appreciation.
Wow.
And that is this plaque.
Oh, thank you so much.
In addition to the gavel that we
yes,
gave you at the event.
You gave me my first gavel.
Yes.
And I thank you so much. This is wonderful. And we'll hang this in a place of honor in this office.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of NAPS Chat. We look forward to spending time with you next week.
I'm going to spend right down. And write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna